Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
James, you covered that series pretty closely. Do you remember the circumstances regarding Kevin Durant coming back in that series against Toronto?
Yeah, it was really awkward. To be honest with you, the Warriors made some mistakes there. And they had come out and said, hey, look, you can go out and play, but you can't do any more damage to it. Like, they gave clearance for him to play. And, you know, again, they were, if I'm not mistaken, that series where we're also dealing with the DeMarcus Cousins, torn quad.
Mm-hmm. He tore quad playoffs, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, against first Houston. Round? Yeah. He went to go run down a ball in the backcourt, and the quad muscle tore off the top of his patella, right off his kneecap.
You could have just said he tore his quad. James,
it was the worst. The visual of that is one of the worst things I've ever seen. There was an upside down V going up his leg where the muscle was missing.
Even more descriptive. All right, thank
yep,
you.
There you go.
No. James loves nothing more than getting descriptive with injuries. Nothing more. It's his absolute favorite.
Yeah.
Thing. James Ham lives for this moment.
I do. To me, look, they're similar except for the fact that Ty had just damaged his leg. You know, Kevin Durant, and that's a danger. Like, it's not just about, you know, the injury healing and all of a sudden, you know, like, you're not going to hurt your calf anymore or anything like that. It's once the injury is healed, you have to rebuild the calf muscle. You have to strengthen it and rebuild the whole thing. And, you know, like, a month of not doing anything on a calf muscle is a lot. And so for Durant, they didn't give him enough time. And, you know, again, I had somebody when the Warriors came out and said that he couldn't do any more damage. I had someone reach out to me in the industry and say, that is crazy. He clearly could do more damage to that. And sure enough, he did. I was there in the building. It was not fun to be part of when Durant got hurt. And, you know, I said earlier with Kyle on the Insiders, like, Ty on the ground, it just reminded me 100% of Rudy Gay. That's exactly what Rudy Gay looked like, laying there, pounding his fist on the ground, very upset, and knowing right away what happened.
So let me ask you guys a question. And we're not doctors. We're not solving anything right now. But you look at, obviously, Ty being, like, entirely too quick of a turnaround to start playing. And then you look at Kevin Durant. Are we going to change the scope of is this a 2-month injury? Because once again, Kevin Durant was out for a month and didn't play. We usually think of that depending on the grade of strain, aka tear. Yeah. We look at it as a 4 to 6 week. Like, should we now be looking at this as like, you got a calf strain, grade 2, whatever, you're out for 2 months?
Maybe. I mean, because it's once the injury is healed, which you can see the injury, like on an MRI, you can see it. It's once it's healed, then it's about rebuilding and getting the strength back to where it normally is. And again, we talked about this earlier too on the Insiders. Like they have these like giant rubber mats, and in the giant rubber mat are cutouts for these metal plates that the players jump on and off of, right? And the players will sit there and leap like two or three times in pregame, and then two or three times when they get done warming up to see where their body's at. They can see acceleration. They can see deceleration. They can realistically start to see if you're tired or not, if your body's wearing out and you need a break. Well, they should be able to use that same exact technology to have a baseline for what a calf injury, what his normal calf should look like, what his normal leaping ability should look like off of these platforms. Because the Kings aren't the only one that have these. Every team in the league that I've seen have them. But then take that data and look at what he looks like before you put him out on the court. Because it's not just jumping off the ground that hurt Ty. It was the extension. It was him taking that long step that overextended the calf muscle and the Achilles. And that's when he had the injury. And there was even in the moment, one of the, I think it was Richard Jefferson, whoever was calling the game, they started talking about how, you know, he's got to take shorter strides, how that was part of it, that he should have been working on taking shorter strides to avoid fully extending the calf and the Achilles, and he didn't. So, I mean, it's such an unfortunate situation, but at the end of the day, like, he knew the risk, the Pacers knew the risk, and they were willing to risk it. They're willing to put his body on the line to try to get through a game seven. And it's hard to fault anybody in this situation.
Also, I think it's important to point out not all injuries heal the same. Mm-hmm. If it's the same injury, everyone's body is different. This is the Kawhi Leonard thing. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard with San Antonio. Well, Kawhi should be healed. Kawhi should be healed. Kawhi telling you, that's great. I'm not. Mm-hmm. There were reports. It wasn't a report. Oh, it was Trista. Trista dug up some stuff about Nico Harrison, about how Nico wanted Luka to come back from that calf strain. And Luka just kept saying, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready. Nico fired all of the people, the trainers who were like, I don't think that he's ready. Mm-hmm. Nico fired all of those people. And then obviously we know how things ended with Luka in Dallas.
Right.
It's you can put a 4 to 6 week healing prognosis on something. You could put an 8 to 12 week healing prognosis on something. My body will heal differently than yours, which will heal different than Jesse's, which will heal differently than James.
Right.
Like it.
But, and I agree with you 100%, which is why on the flip side, RIP say, and I don't know this. I'm just thinking about this, but on the flip side, saying the Warriors did the wrong thing with Kevin Durant may be unfair, because Kevin Durant has said, I feel great.
Well,
I feel fine. Like, I feel back to myself.
Well, I don't think he did, but Kevin Durant's situation was probably the same exact thing as Ty's. Kevin, I have to imagine Kevin Durant knew the risk when he stepped mm-hmm. on the floor in the finals. Mm-hmm. There was a reason all of those murmurs about what was going on there were, like, they didn't come out of thin air. Like, we talk about it all the time. This stuff just isn't made up and float out. It came from somebody. And I have to assume Kevin Durant took the same exact risk that Tyrese Halliburton took, even though he was out a significantly longer period of time. Tyrese, who wasn't out at all. I mean, KD was out a significantly longer period of time than Ty was. The risk was the same.
Yeah,
and I'm sure his approach was the same.
Well, that and Kevin Durant was, what, 31, 32? And not only 31, 32, but a player who had played in the NBA since he was 18, 19 years old. He'd been to the playoffs a ton of times. He played extra games, not only in the NBA, in the playoffs, but also in the Olympics. Ty, like, it's about mileage on the body. I mean, Ty was a two-year college player, got to league at 21. He's been in the league 5 years. When Durant popped his Achilles, he'd been in the league like, I want to say 13 years. And Ty's been in the league like five. and the mileage on his body. So you're going to handle each of these injuries differently based on, you know, some of these factors. Like, it wasn't a surprise when Kobe popped his Achilles. He had been playing so many games for so many years. I mean, like, the mileage, the wear and tear on his body versus, you know, players that maybe even were the same age as him, but that just didn't play the sheer volume of games during the offseason for a lot of people, you know, going deep into the playoffs, going to the Olympics, playing all these extra things that, that Kobe did when he got hurt. So yeah, it's just really hard to judge. And, you know, I think it's easier to, like, for all of us to just look at the Boston situation and say, hey, look, Jason Tatum just took a bad step and it happened. But when you know that somebody's like in a vulnerable position, that's what sort of amps up the possibilities of an injury here. And, you know, again, I think same with Dame. We just kind of expect, like, when it happened, it was like, oh, that's a bummer. But, man, you're 35, 36 years old. You've got a ton of mileage on those legs.
Well, he was also dealing with something. Like, he was dealing with something at the time. And maybe it's not as directly related as a calf strain, but I got to believe this is directly related.
It was
related.
In his leg.
Yeah, it was absolutely in his leg.
I got a half-baked idea.
Okay, Dave Chappelle.
Half-baked hypothesis.
Okay.
Mind you, working through it. But all of this, people talking about, you know, why are these Achilles tears and these injuries happening right now? Mm-hmm. And there's so many, and the league needs to do something. They need to shorten the season, or they need to do this and that and this and that. I say it's all your fault. And it's all your fault. And it's all my fault. Mm-hmm. And it's all the Chatty House's fault. Because, and the coaches.
Okay.
Players, this is not on you. Coaches, this is on you. We ask so much of these players night in and night out, day in and day out. We look back to the 90s and all this other stuff. We've watched it in real time. What was that defense looking like from play to play?
It was awful.
They're just standing there. But what happens today if somebody just stands? What happens on this show if Luka just stands there for most of the game?
We
spend a whole segment
of
just destroying this man for not giving any effort. Same thing happened all year long with DeMar DeRozan and how bad he is on defense because he just stands there and doesn't know anything. They are asked to be at 100% every single time they step on the floor. Mm-hmm. Whether it's from the media members or fans who will put compilations together if they catch 1 5-minute stretch of them not playing defense and then use that to say that their bums are not worth the money or not worth the trade or anything else like that, where we are helping push the limits of these guys' bodies. I think that's a bit of an issue, and everybody's at fault. Like, I think the coaches, like coaches' film breakdown, second row coaches, oh man, you were supposed to make this rotation. Da, da, da. Like, there's a lot on these guys mentally and physically that we didn't see in the 90s.
Yeah, I'd add to that, Kenny. Like, every team has their own proprietary technology, their own proprietary thing that they're doing, the secret sauce for their player development, for their player like health. And everything else, health and fitness departments. The league as a whole needs to do a better job of sharing information, because there is an algorithm that's probably out there that tells you when a player is breaking down. But because you're only dealing with 15 players and you're only dealing within such small sample sizes, if the league were to collect everything as a whole and
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And say, hey, let's look at the progression. Like, everybody does the plate thing that I talk about. Every game they do the plate thing. Let's see what the league-wide situation looks like with 1 year data, 2 years, 5 years of data, and then try to start making some predictors off of what's happening with these players, because the information is there, but the sharing isn't. And so it becomes like, you know, a 1970s crime drama where, you know, a mass murderer gets away with a bunch of murders because he was going from one county to the next and the counties don't talk to each other and had no idea something else was going on two counties over, three counties over. Well, this is the NBA. This is modern technology. They should all be sharing information so they all have a better idea of how to avoid situations like this and how to improve the product as a whole. Because that's all we're asking for. Like, nobody who watches basketball wanted to see what happened in that game. I mean, if you did, you're just a bad person. You are. Nobody should want to see that.
I agree 100%. But I'll say that, like, if you drive a car 90 miles per hour with the air on all the time, like, you push the limits of that engine all the time. Yeah, it's 2025. They make cars better now. It's still going to have a limit. Like, I think these players get pushed to the limit from 12 years old. Like, I'm not even acting holier than now. I asked the 12-year-olds to rotate a certain way, rotate with a certain intensity, getting help, be there before the ball even gets to that guy. Like, they are being pushed to the limit every time they step on the floor since they're like 9 years old. And
so what's the answer then?
That's why it's half baked. But, like, okay. One of them is like, all right, like, these guys, if there is a rotation missed on defense because a guy just was sleepwalking, like, please, let's not destroy this guy and publicly shame him for not having the quickest rotation to a defense, or if he's not, like, always the best defender, or if he kind of hangs out in the corner and on offense and hides out for a little bit, like, let's not publicly shame these guys for this all the time.
You think that's going to work?
I don't know.
It's not, because you're never going to be able to do that.
No.
I don't think it's realistic, but oh. I think that's part of the problem.
Oh, it might like be, but that problem doesn't have a solution. Mm. You won't go on Twitter and say, hey, guys, stop being jerks? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about social media. That's the discussion. It's not going to happen.
Or talking about us, too. We're talking about coaches. Coaches got to pull back.
Well, if they don't make a 5-minute clip on social media, we won't play it during the show. We'll put that on me.
I'm just here with what's given to me.
I'm a content creator.
The coaches.
Yeah, this is tough. All this stuff. I mean, like, look, I think we start, like, the NBA needs a medical council that deals with everybody's stuff, that takes in all the data and starts to really examine this. Because I think that's the only way you start to make changes in a positive way. And like, look, bad things happen sometimes. I mean, we've seen it nonstop. Who was it? They got hurt against the Kings where they just took a bad step and, oh, it was Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just took a bad step and trashed his knee. Right. And like these things happen, but the wear and tear injuries, all that stuff. I don't think it's avoidable, but I do think that there's a better plan. There can be a better plan in place to predict sort of what's happening here. And this one here, like in all honesty, is probably the most predictable injury that we've ever seen.
Hammer, like, you're Rick Carlisle. What would you have done last night?
I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And I would probably be feeling just as crappy today as he is.
Yeah.
You know, like, to be honest with you, a player says he thinks he can go. You know, the medical staff, like, that's the one person I want to, like, exempt from all of this. Like, those guys were just doing the best to tape that guy together and keep him upright and then let everybody else make the decision. They're telling people, hey, this is a bad idea. I guarantee you they were. But at the same time, you know, like, those guys are paid to, like, try to keep these guys in as good a health as possible. And, like, the advancements and what these guys, like, the supplements they take all day long, the recovery baths, all the things that are regimented by the team, that are pushed by the team, like, they're doing everything in their power to be on the cutting edge of technology when it comes to player recovery and healing. And, you know, sometimes you just get it wrong and something catastrophic happens, like what we saw yesterday.
No, I think you said it earlier on the Insider's Hammer, and I agree. I mean, it's maybe sounds like a cop-out to some people, but nobody's at fault. Everybody had information and made a decision, and mm-hmm. I don't think anybody was sitting there saying, well, even with what we think and what history may have told us and some of the highly educated guesses we can make, nobody knew for sure that was going to happen. There was a possibility that he could get through that game just like he got through game 6. So, you know, they took those type of things into account and they ran a risk and it didn't work out for him, man. But I know the nature of the question. I know what you're saying. James, it's tough for me personally. I don't know what I would have done if I was Rick Carlisle. Like, I can lay out a scenario of, oh, I'm going to protect my guy and all this other stuff. But, you know, what if protecting him is giving him an opportunity? You know, maybe what if he comes to you and says, you coach, I'd be distraught if I didn't get this opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know. So he did the best he could with the information that was given to him. Same with Tyrese, same with those trainers. And it's just unfortunate what happened, man. Sometimes life isn't fair and things don't go the way we feel like they should, man. And I think that's mostly what happened yesterday.
Yeah, and in this one, just to add to that very specifically, I think they knew all the information. I mm-hmm. think they just took a calculated risk and came up sevenths. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a bad bet, and you shouldn't have done it. And, you know, hindsight is 20/20 and all that, but realistically, everybody knew that this was the fear. And, you know, like, you can go back and watch the clip of me saying, hey, they could lose game 7. They could get to game 7. He could pop his Achilles and still lose. Like, it's not good. It sucks. So
I do think as that game was, you know, because OKC or Indiana hung around for longer than they had any business to, There was a point where I said out loud, this could wind up being one of the most incredible stories in the history of sports if they win this. They were underdogs to start this series, and I don't think it's a stretch to say they were huge underdogs. I think they were underdogs against New York, too. Like, the way they would have won games in those two series, respectively, had the situation played out exactly the same with Tyrese going down in the first and somehow the T.J. McConnell, Pascal Siakam-led Indiana Pacers had won the NBA championship, that would have been a story that was told forever. It wasn't. It was the coronation of the Oklahoma City Thunder, James. And that's really, you know, it, we could play the what-if games and all of this, but OKC, for an entire season from beginning to end, with very little waiver, had been the best team in the entire league. And last night felt like they're, through the frustration or sadness or whatever, the disappointment in the Tyrese injury, last night felt like the coronation of a really, really good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's probably a great basketball team.
Sure.
And it's probably going to be a dynasty. This is a team that isn't just built to win today. It's built for the next 5 to 7 years of just incredibly high-level competition. They still have a ton of draft picks. They still have a bunch of young players that they can turn to. I mean, they have Nikola Topic, who was going to be like a top 5 or 6 pick in this last year's draft, that had a torn ACL they found at the combine, and he didn't play at all this year, and they were able to scoop him up and draft him. Like, this team is just built, and like listening to Sam Presti talk and, you know, the emotion of yesterday, that's the one downfall to, I mean, it's one of the huge downfalls to the Tyrese Halliburton injury, is it took away from a team that realistically was better. They were better the entire season. They were better throughout the playoffs. Indiana was, you know, the cardiac kids and like super fun, and, you know, held their own in the NBA finals. But, you know, whether Ty was there or not, it's very possible OKC would have won. And the final game is tainted by an injury, but that is a outstanding basketball team, and they're going to be outstanding for a long time.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what they're able to keep going. Like, they've got as many assets, more assets than anybody in the league, with what they already have on the team and draft compensation and all this other stuff. I wonder what going up against OKC is going to look like moving forward. Obviously, they'll just gain confidence from what they were able to do and winning a championship. But they got pushed a little bit.
Yeah,
they got pushed a lot, actually. Two game sevens, and even in the sweep of Memphis, they were down like a combined 50 points in the two games in Memphis. So not invincible. I wonder if a team like Houston looks at that and says, With the right firepower, they could be had, man. And while OKC is going to be really good for a long time, I wonder if teams around the league look at them as gettable and not unbeatable in a playoff situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. But like as of right now, they're the leader in the clubhouse, and it's tough to argue with like a 68-win team. What they did in this year's playoffs was that they grew up every single step of the way, and they learned how to play the game. They learned how to play in the playoffs. They learned how to keep continuing even when things get tough. And now you're going to have a battle-tested, like, 25-year-old team. That's what their average age is, like 25.7 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's such a young team. And now not only are they battle-tested, but they've won one, and they know what that feels like. And so I would expect them to be even nastier next season. And it doesn't even mean that they're going to go for 73 wins and try to take down the Warriors' all-time record or anything like that. But I think they have the depth and the talent to do something like that. It's just a really well-built, well-coached team, and Sam Presti is absolutely the best in the business, not even question.
Okay, let's step out. Let's come back. We got a lot more we want to talk to James about, including Ty's injury, Oklahoma City Thunder win the title. Arguably, the biggest story of the NBA weekend was neither one of those. Kevin Durant is headed to the Houston Rockets. And, of course, We've got to talk to James about what the hell that means for the Sacramento Kings. We'll find out when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with our insider from the insiders, our man James Hamm. As we are now officially into the first day of the NBA offseason with the NBA Finals concluding last night. And, of course, over the weekend, James, Houston Rockets made a deal, the one everybody had been anticipating. The Kevin Durant sweepstakes is over. He's joining the Houston Rockets. The Phoenix Suns still have a lot of work ahead of them. Before we dive into what this means, if anything, for the Sacramento Kings, what did you think of the deal from the Houston perspective and from the Phoenix perspective?
Man, it's an interesting deal. I thought that they would get more than one first round pick and five second round picks. But it seems like the teams in this deal, they were pretty tight with their assets. And it takes a lot to get up to the value of Kevin Durant as far as contracts. And that's why, you know, again, I think Jalen Green's a very good young player. You know, I think Dylan Brooks is a, you know, strong rotational player. But you thought that they might get a little bit more draft capital. But at the same time, I'll say this. We learned last season that you got 5 second round picks. That's enough to go out and get some reasonable rotational players at the deadline or during the offseason. It's something that the Kings, you know, they couldn't make any deals because they didn't have any second round picks. When they got the 3 second round picks in the Fox trade, they ended up going out and getting Jake LaRavia, getting Jonas Valanciunas. And so those second round picks, they have a ton of value as far as team building. As far as the value of the trade, again, the best player in the deal is clearly Kevin Durant, but I like a 23-year-old, you know, Jalen Green. I think he's got the potential to be a really, really good player. I just feel like that Houston Rockets team had too many young players, and it's fine to bring everybody along together, but the finer nuances of the game when you have that many young players can sometimes get lost. Bad habits can form when there's so many young players. And I think him going to a situation where he's going to be one of a very few young players on a squad will actually help him and help him mature and develop him faster. And so, yeah, I think it's a pretty solid deal for both teams. You know, and if I were the Kings and if they don't want Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, I certainly would offer Zach LaVine and some stuff in order to collect those players.
Yeah, I mean, I think the deal is about what Phoenix could expect to get in this situation with Kevin Durant and his contract situation, where he's at in his career. I think they did good just to get the one pick back, you know, the number 10 pick, especially after what is going on with their future draft. Have you ever, I'm sure you have, James, like we spent 30 minutes trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
This is on one pick, by the way. This is simply on the 2028 pick. We were trying to read through all of the provisions of the 2028 pick, and it is insane.
They had access to zero picks. They had none of their own picks. The picks that they do have are all tied up in pick swaps. And then on top of that, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't have any second round picks at all. And they're, you know, Denver is in the same situation. Denver has nothing. They've got no second round picks, no first round picks that, you know, like all of their picks are either pick swaps or they can't trade because of the step-in rule. And that's kind of the way the Suns were too. And like, it's super convoluted and crazy how some of these teams have mortgaged their entire future. And then other teams, you know, like a team like the Kings, as of July 1st, they will have 9 first round picks. And I think it's 4 second round picks. And that's not, you know, the best in the league, but it certainly is a lot when you consider 2 of those are unprotected picks from other teams and then all of your own unprotected picks. So, yeah, I think they have I think this was probably the best they could do. And, you know, they shopped Durant for a while. And of course, teams tried to get into the race, and Durant, people are like, yeah, he's not going to sign there. So it did limit them slightly. But I think I like what Houston's doing, and I think I like Phoenix getting a little bit younger.
Okay. I don't like the trade for Phoenix at all until they do more. Like Jalen and Dylan Brooks, that doesn't make sense to me on that particular team. If Phoenix is, you know, we were using the term rerouting, and there's speculation already that one or two more teams could get involved in this trade over the course of the next 2 weeks, is, you know, we all know that the new league year is still a little bit away with tampering, legal tampering, getting underway in 7 days, and then the new league year officially starting after that, when all of these trades and signings that we'll hear about over the course of the next 7 days is, of course, includes the Desmond Bane stuff. That's when it all becomes final. There's a lot of speculation that other teams will get involved, and if you start getting other teams involved, James, because the biggest need that Phoenix has is someone at that center spot. They still don't have it. And so maybe if you use Jalen, I mean, I know they want to use Bradley Beal to do something. I don't know how feasible that is. I don't know how much Brad Beal is going to play ball with them after this offseason that they've had. But they still have such a horribly missed or unbalanced roster that they've got to use, whether it's these draft picks, this exit, they got to use something to spread their roster out a little bit.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, Kyle and I, like, there's talk that they might buy Bradley Beal out.
Yeah.
And stretch provision, and he's owed $110 million. That means because it's a 2-year deal, you get twice as many years plus 1 year. So they can spread his contract out over 5 years, and they could tie up $22 million a year in salary cap for 5 years. And that might be their best avenue, because it would save them $30 million in salary this season. And that $30 million in salary would drop them down below the luxury tax and save them all the luxury tax dollar. So, I mean, how crazy does that sound, though, that you would just dump Bradley Beal? There's talk that they're trying to negotiate and maybe get a lower buyout if they can't find a taker for Bradley Beal. But they don't have the assets to give somebody to take Bradley Beal. And it's not like they've got some young player that's just so good that you could attach to Bradley Beal and say, well, maybe some team would take on Bradley's contract just to get rid of this. Just to take on this other player. They don't even have that. So they're in a tough spot. I would not be surprised to see them stretch provision to waive and stretch provision Bradley Beal. But they have a really, really awkward roster now that's basically all shooting guards and small forwards and undersized small forwards at that. So whether it's Dylan Brooks or it's, Grayson Allen, again, Brad and now Jalen Green and all of that to go with Booker, they still don't have a point guard. And they have all of these players that play the same position. It is a little bit like what the Sacramento Kings have.
I may be in the minority, but I kind of hate what has happened with this Bradley Beal situation. Beal is just bum or albatross as a player. Like he's not worth the, or doesn't have the same value that the contract requires. But if Phoenix knew what they were doing, he could still be a player that could help that team. But the way they've gone about that situation and done it with Coach Bud and in the public eye and everything, it's ridiculous, man. And now they're in a situation where feels like they're just gonna lose out completely on the Bradley Beal experience because they didn't handle it the right way from the jump, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's possible that they're, you know, partially at fault here for everything that's happened, but also I just don't think he's a fit behind the scenes either. And there's a lot of murmurs about the dysfunction behind the scenes with that team specifically. And, you know, we even saw this week, somebody said that there was multiple fist fights during the season in the locker room. That team didn't get along, and you saw it. And that's why they finished 13th or whatever it was. Like, they weren't very good, and they had plenty of players to be good, including Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. I'm just really surprised how poorly that team played this season.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And a lot of it, I think, was just, you know, general dysfunction, not just with their coach, but with players not getting along all that well, too.
James, I think you and Kyle talked about this last week. And now that the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, so to speak, is over, there are some teams who are kind of left empty-handed. Does DeMar DeRozan factor into any of those squads out there?
It's interesting. You know, like, I think we're going to have to see if we hear, you know, the Kings and Heat, you know, sort of start working on something. It's something that we had heard like 7 to 10 days ago, that there was plenty of smoke with DeMar DeRozan potentially going to the Miami Heat if they missed out on the Kevin Durant deal. I do know, like, talking to people around the team today, like, there is a major, major push to add a very good point guard. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what level of point guard they're going to be able to acquire, but their top priority is still to address the point guard position that, you know, that is now left bare with De'Aaron Fox not being here anymore. So expect that to be like the hyper focus, but all of these other things that could play out in the next couple, the next, you know, week, because that's where we're at this point. I think Monday is June 30th, which is the day that teams can start to, you know, legally negotiate with players. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to go pretty quick. I think we'll know a lot of stuff by not just Monday afternoon, but, you know, draft night, you know, building up to the draft. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting week to 10 days in Sacramento.
We may ask this every time for the next 3-4 weeks. It's a little bit of a heat check, unless there's no need to ask
it's
it anymore.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Unless there's no need to ask it anymore, but I mean, it's just crazy. Like, DeMar DeRozan's just gone, right? Like, or is there a possibility that he stays here in Sacramento?
I mean, all things are possible, you know? Like, I used to...
Anything is possible!
We were so convinced that Marvin Bagley was going to get traded during the offseason, and then he opened the season with the Kings.
No, he should have been.
And, you know, and then ended up getting traded, like, mid-season. That's one of those things where it's like, you can believe someone's getting traded, but you got to have a dance partner in order to move a player. And I think that there are plenty of teams out there that look at DeMar DeRozan as like an instant, you know, third option for their team. And that's not a bad thing to have, especially on a contract that goes from, you know, $25 million. And if you don't want to pick up the second year option, you can buy him out for 10, walk away.
To be clear, DeMar DeRozan, Marvin Bagley, not the same thing.
Not at all.
The same thing whatsoever.
The only time they're in the same sentence is when you say Marvin Bagley is not DeMar DeRozan.
That's right. That's right. You know,
former Kings potentially.
James, James, I had a thought. Like, I just looked up at the TV at the wrong time. James talking about, the Kings are looking for a really, really, really good point guard. And I might have added too many reallys. I wasn't trying to be dramatic, but they're looking for a really good point guard. Do they have competition now with a team like Indiana? In the sense that maybe Indiana feels, hey, we can keep this thing going. We can't replace Ty, but if we get someone in here, you know, the first name that came to my mind, and I don't think it makes sense, was Jrue Holiday. But like the years, like the amount, like if Jrue had 2 years left, maybe that would make a little bit more sense, because you have him all of next year with Ty out, and then you have him in his expiring year when Ty is back. You have a little grace period for Ty. He doesn't have to be electric right out of the gate. You have Jrue Holiday along to help him. But Jrue, I think, has 3 years left on his contract, which kind of puts him in a slightly more awkward position. But I wondered now, I wonder if they have competition. I wonder how, you know, Milwaukee feels with the Dame Lillard situation. The Sacramento Kings might not be the only team looking for a high-level point guard to take them in a different direction.
Well, yeah, and you missed the other big team, which is Phoenix Suns, who now need a point guard, who needed a point guard before. Because I think Tyus Jones was a one-year deal, league minimum deal. Yeah, I think there is going to be competition out there for a point guard, but, you know, everyone has their idea of what an ideal point guard is for their roster. I don't think Indiana is a team that's going to search for point guard. And, you know, as much as, people in the chat are mentioning that they have guys like Nembhard and they have TJ McConnell. I think also the emergence of Benedict Mathurin and sort of the way he played in specifically in the finals and in a lot of playoff games, that makes you feel a lot more secure that you might be able to slide him into that shooting guard position, move Nembhard over to the starting one, ask him to be a little bit different, a little bit more like he was in college, and then use TJ McConnell off the bench. And of course they have another young player in Shepherd that looks like he can play as well. And so I think that they've got enough players. It's the other teams that I would be more concerned with. It's, you know, again, Phoenix, there's a couple of teams that probably could use a point guard. But Phoenix specifically, who just went out and got Jalen Green, and maybe there is a team out there that says, hey, look, we have a point guard that we don't really want to spend the money on. Maybe we can move off of this guy and give Jalen Green an opportunity to grow and to be like a 25-point-per-game scorer and sort of an open system.
I know it's a little bit of an unfair question, but work with me here, James. Would you rather see the Kings be cautious and patient or be ultra-aggressive now that we're in this trade season / beginning of the new NBA calendar?
Yeah, make it rain. Like the time to be cautious and all that stuff that left when you dump Monty and Wes. Like those guys squandered 2 years and let your team go from a 48 win team to a 40 win team because they wouldn't do anything. It's time. It's time to, you know, even if it's breaking this thing up, it's time to make moves. You're a 40 win team. You're sub 500 team. And I don't care about injuries or anything else. I don't know that this is a even remotely close to a 500 team that they just run it back. Because I don't think, I think a lot of smoke and mirrors got them through the regular season after Mike was fired. And that's not to, you know, I think Doug did a great job of keeping it together and keeping guys motivated, but the roster was so janky and off the whole second half of the season. You can't expect that roster through 82 games to be a highly successful roster. It's just like, to me, it's not a high quality roster. It's broken. There's a lot of high quality pieces, but the fit at almost, you know, like three of the five starting positions is off. And, you know, the team doesn't have a point guard. And that's not me saying, that's Doug Christie, Domantas Sabonis, and Scott Perry saying it. Got to get a point guard.
That's F them picks. Is that how you feel?
No. Like, you need to be smart. You need to make savvy moves. I definitely, that's Kyle's mantra. I think he's having shirts made. Look, if it costs you three or four first round picks to go get a star level point guard, okay, you still got five. Hmm. You know, that you still got five first round picks in your arsenal. If you have to make two separate deals and both of those deals cost you two first round picks, but you get really, really good players. Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as you're improving, as long as you're moving towards something, you're getting younger, you're making moves that make the roster fit together better. Like, I'm okay with whatever happens here. You know, I would definitely like to see a winner, back in Sacramento. One playoff appearance is not at all what any of us thought we were getting out of that first Beam team.
Agreed.
And the question will be, how do you put this all together? Like, what is it that what are all of the pieces that the Kings need? Because it feels like there's a variety of them. And one thing that we've heard, James, that I just don't believe is going to happen, is that the Sacramento Kings won into the first round of this upcoming NBA draft. Well, that's Wednesday. I don't know what they use to acquire that draft pick, but yeah, we're 2 days from that, and I'm not sure that that's a realistic option for Scott Perry in this group right here.
I think there are deals out there that could yield a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think this is like one of those drafts that everyone is clamoring to keep their pick. Plus, you got teams like the Nets who have four first-round picks. Like, there's a lot of stuff floating out there. So I think that you can make some aggressive moves here and get better right away. I also think there's a possibility they get into this draft and, you know, as part of a larger deal where they're giving up a couple of players, bringing back one or two contracts, and you know, they're trying to reload as it might be. But this isn't a draft that I'm scrambling to get into. It's just a draft that, hey, look, if you can get a first round pick in your first year running the team, you would at least try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll have to see how Scott approaches it.
Yeah, I wanted that. I'm with James. I want to make it rain, bro. I want to make it rain, man. Stop playing. Let's go.
Did you guys see the craziness that after the 12th pick, there's only one team that has their original pick? There's only one team that has their pick. Yep.
Wow.
It ain't Phoenix.
No.
Actually, I think they got their pick back. I think that's what 10 is.
10 was their original pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not reading through that again, so I'm just going to take your word for it. Like, my head still hurts from trying to read through their pick situation for the next couple of years.
The Celtics at number 28, they're the only team with their original pick after number 12.
Sean's going to tweet, the Celtics have pick swapped with so-and-so, and now no one will have it.
I heard Brian Windhorst yesterday on the radio, and he was just talking about like the draft, and he said first 20 minutes probably be chalk, like it'll probably go what you want. So the next hour and a half might get crazy. So
yeah, I think there's a very clear line. This is, most people are considering this like an 8-man draft, and then every player after 8 is around, rated around the same area.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for the next few weeks.
That's facts, too.
That's what I'm ready for. Yeah. Really, the next few weeks, whatever. Really, the next 7 to 8 days. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm ready for.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the California Classic because, we got punked out of it.
Yeah, we don't need no team or nothing. Mm-hmm. Just whatever. Just keep moving. Come on.
Come on.
Send Devin Carter's ass to Summer League.
They're going to send him somewhere else. Summer League.
I didn't say Summer League in Vegas. Summer League in Utah.
He might be in Summer League. Just might not be with Sacramento Kings. Never know.
Man. Oh, Devin, we hardly knew you, pal. All right. First day of the NBA offseason is here. Worth pointing out, we got coverage of the NBA draft beginning on Wednesday at 4:30. You can lock in for that. Of course, second round will begin Thursday at 4:30. That, at least as of right now, is when the Sacramento Kings will make their selection. Thank God Danny in San Francisco isn't with us anymore, and we don't have to do...
He'd have us do it for the first round. They don't even have a pick.
8-hour draft spectacular with D'Lo and KC. And they've really been working us like crazy.
That's all right, though. We built for it.
We're here. That's what we do. That's what we do, man. The offseason is here. Any final thoughts on the regular season? Any final thoughts on this NBA season, I should say?
It was a great season.
It was a great postseason, too.
It was. Yeah.
Despite the Dame, but the injuries with Dame and Tatum and Ty last night. This was a great postseason.
The whole damn season didn't disappoint, man. We got funnies. We got drama. We got great basketball. NBA, I may be biased, but it's always good.
That East next year, Hammer, is crazy. So many star players out. The Knicks, who as of this exact moment are the healthiest team in the conference, they don't have a head coach. KC has worked Philadelphia back into the equation somehow. I brought up Atlanta today. What world are we living in where I'm bringing up Atlanta? Yeah, it's a crazy time, man. We appreciate you so much for being with us. Make sure you're locked in tomorrow as we get ready for the NBA draft with the insiders. Beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Octopus.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.